go and do likewise. The gospel presents to us again this immortal parable of the Good Samaritan. And in that parable, Jesus tells us that God wants us to care for one another. To care for one another. But sadly, we don't always do that. We don't always do that. But when you look at the commandments of God, there are so many, so many. But then Jesus reduced them or summed them up into two greatest commandments, and that is the love of God and the love of neighbor. And these two commandments are inseparable. They are inseparable. You know, the first one, the second one flows from the first. The first, which is the to love God. You know, God infuses that love of Him in our soul. Because there is no way we would on our own naturally have discovered that and be able to, have it. God infuses it. That is why we can talk of the three theological virtues, the virtue of love, the virtue of hope, and the virtue of faith. They come directly from God. Then it is with this love of God that we are now, our will is inflamed. Our memory is inflamed. Our intellect is inflamed and empowered for us to be able to understand that we are to love our neighbor. We are to love others. And we now have the strength to be able to do so. Because on our own, we will not be able to do that. And we will not be able to do it consistently. Consistently. No matter what. So, back in Nigeria, I studied world geography. World geography in high school. And one of the topics was Alaska. I studied Alaska. And after receiving all the information about Alaska, I became fascinated with the land and its people. So there was this desire in me to actually visit Alaska. But how could I do that all the way from Nigeria? But somehow, God heard my prayer. Sometime afterwards, I found myself in Colorado, USA. And 2 years after that, a couple visited Colorado, tourists visiting, touring the mountainside of Colorado. And incidentally, we crossed paths. And we got talking. And I asked them where they came from, and they said, from Alaska. My face shone. I said, Alaska? Oh, I would like to go to Alaska. And they said, well, this was during the summer. They said, well, next summer or next year, we would like to invite you. And they really did. They invited me to Alaska the next year during my vacation, and I went and spent 4 or 5 days with them. They took me around Alaska, telling me beautiful things about Alaska. And one thing I gathered from my experience there was that Alaska is so vast that the people who live there have to face long periods of isolation, particularly the farmers. The farmers live isolated lives. And one time during my visit there, they told me about an American who was touring Alaska when he had his worst fear. His worst fear came. And that was when he broke the axle of his motorhome. And then suddenly found himself in the middle of nowhere. Now, leaving his family in the motorhome, he decided to walk on in the hope of finding someone who might be able to help them. Now, as he walked on, Of course, remember that at that time, there was no mobile phone. So thank God for technology. It would have been worse. So there was no mobile phone. But somehow he had stroke of luck. He came upon a farmhouse. Then he told the farmer about his predicament, and the farmer was very sympathetic. You know, sympathetic, that word, sympathetic. Compassionate, just like the story of the Good Samaritan, compassionate. You know, we must be compassionate. We must have this sensitivity in our hearts, which the Holy Spirit instills, you know, compassionate towards another, towards another. So, fortunately for them, the farmer had the welding equipment. So he told the motorhome to his farm yard with his tractor, and they repaired the broken axle. When the job was finished, the tourist reached for his wallet and said, how much do I owe you? You don't owe me anything, replied the farmer. But I feel I must repay you for what you have done for me, said the tourist. But you have already done so, replied the farmer. Then the tourist asked, I don't understand. You have given me the pleasure of your company for a couple of hours, replied the farmer. You know, you have... So what I want us to... You know, when I read the story of the Samaritan, of the Good Samaritan, now I could recall this particular experience I had in Alaska. So I could see the similarities. You know, the compassionate nature of the farmer, the compassionate nature of the Good Samaritan, and how they went out of their way. Because usually we have, Jesus said, if somebody asks you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. They went out of their way to be of help. Now look at the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan, the story. Jesus did not tell us that the man, the wounded man, was, you know, was there was no religious or social label, you know, that Jesus attached to him. He did not tell us that the wounded man was rich or poor, or, you know, and so on and so forth, or important or not important, but the fact that he was a human being. He was simply a human being. He didn't tell us that he was black or white or Caucasian or Hispanic or Asian or rich or poor, but he was simply a human being needing help. And then, of course, the Good Samaritan did not stop to find out whether he was a Jew, because the Jews and the Samaritans were enemies at the time. So he did not even stop to find out whether this man was a Samaritan like himself or a Jew, but he just went ahead and did what was important, what was needful. So from this, we can see that the highest state that any human being can attain is when goodness becomes second nature to us. When goodness falls out from us, when it falls from us without our notice, just as a leaf can fall from a tree, when we reach that particular state, then we really can be sure that we are truly children of God, that this goodness of God is truly poured out naturally from us. Because we have it. It's deep down in us. The goodness of God is deep down in every human being. Every human being. Just as we heard in the first read of today, that this commandment, Moses telling them, this commandment that you hear, they don't come from the sky. They're not from the sky. They are right there inside you. All you need to do is to carry it out. But carrying it out is impossible without the grace of God. The same thing goes with the goodness that is residing inside you and I. Without the grace of God, we cannot consistently leave them out, you know, as if they are so natural to us. We need the Holy Spirit. That's why God has to come. Because our human nature has been corrupted by original sin. We are living in the effect of the original sin. So we call it fallen nature. We become powerless to goodness. We become powerless to goodness. The other way around is almost like our first nature, evil. You know, evil is easy to carry out than goodness. But the other one is residing inside us. But the Holy Spirit that is residing inside us is itching, desiring all the time to take us back into us and help us to locate this goodness and make us to and help us to begin to practice them. That is why the attainment of that goodness is not something one can achieve overnight. It's a long, long practice. When we are obeying the Spirit of God prompting us to do the right thing, it takes long. Before you know it, it becomes your second nature. But we have to listen and be able to follow the Spirit lead. Follow the Spirit lead in every occasion of our lives. Remember that our road, Jerusalem to Jericho, represents the journey of life. Jerusalem to Jericho is the journey of life. The journey of life is a dangerous one. Just like the journey from Jerusalem to Jericho was a dangerous one. You will find heartless and violent people, all kinds of violent experiences on this road. And Jesus knew this very well, because himself also lived it out. So we are, just as that man was wounded, we also are wounded. We are wounded by people, other people. We are wounded by events. We are wounded by sickness. We all also carry these wounds. But we are supposed to be able to attend to one another. That's what Jesus is saying, with heart of compassion and sympathy. It's not a question of saying, it doesn't concern me. You know, we become indifferent or ignore the situation. But rather, we must offer kind words. We must give our little support. We must give our little sympathy at all times, knowing that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. So Jesus is telling us, do likewise, because you are still on that road. All of us, we are on that road as well.